Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back from near and far. It is good to hear a few voices beforehand and looking forward to hearing a few Rarotos. I put everybody on mute in the meantime just to make sure that there's no background noises which are going to be interrupting, but I'm going to open up at the end. I'd love to hear some questions. I'd love to get a chance to hear everybody again. So what we're going to do this morning is we're talking about the topic of spring is in the air. It may not feel like that, but there's a real change which is going on around us and outside of us. And so let's try to appreciate that. I'd first like to thank, we have three sponsors for today's shiur. The first are Laurie and Dr. Shalom Huberfeld, who are sponsoring this morning in the honor of the Yahrzeit of Mr. Pinchas Huberfeld, Pinchas ben Moshe Aaron Olav HaShalom, whose Yahrzeit will be this coming Thursday on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, always a memorable time. And he continues to be an inspiration, not just through who he was, but through who his continued tzeitzaim, his continued legacy goes through. And Be'ezras Hashem, he should have a continued aliyas neshama as he looks down and sees the incredible work of his children, grandchildren, and Be'ezras Hashem, continued growth in the mishpacha. We also would like to thank Autumn and Bruce Mail, who are sponsoring this morning for the first yahrzeit, the upcoming yahrzeit of Autumn's father, Mr. Walter Lido, Zev ben Moshe Olav HaShalom. This is going to be the first yahrzeit, a man bigger than life, a person who is a personality, a person who really transformed the world around him with his positivity and his humor. And God will, he is very sorely missed, but continues to be seen in his children, in his grandchildren, and his continued mishpacha, very special family. And we also thank Karen and Michael Rosenblum, who are sponsoring this morning for Michael's mother's yahrzeit, which will be this evening, for Mrs. Harriet Rosenblum, Henya Chemda Bas Shmuel, Aleha Shalom. We were supposed to be doing a siyum on this just a few weeks ago. It did not work out at the time, but this is our opportunity to come together, to learn together, and Be'ezras Hashem, to pray for refuah shlema for all, and also, Emetz Hashem, a aliyas neshama for her. This is a special morning, and part of the reason it's special is because although there's so much going on indoors, there's so many issues, and this week is going to bring more, God forbid, but unfortunately, just learning about the new restrictions and the non-essential workers not going to work, and looking what's happening at the stock markets, and looking at the number of cases, and Rachmanis on what's happening in the hospitals, it's very, very hard to have any sense of upbeat experience right now. And for me, part of the Shabbos experience has been so enjoyable is 25 hours without new news. No news really sounds very, very, very good right now, unfortunately. And so those 25 hours of not receiving further texts or emails about things that are going on and not being able to see the news updates and the numbers and the percentages, to me was a very, very relaxing time. But now as we are inundated, as we enter the week again and we can't help ourselves, but we carry on reading and finding out more and sharing more of this information, it's very depressing, which is why sometimes it pays just to take a walk outside a little bit. And it's healthy to be outside, certainly with oneself, with one's family, but to take a walk outside and to see that the world is transforming around us. That if we look at the gardens, our yards, look around the streets, there's a transformation happening before our very eyes, and that is the spring is here. We're just arriving at spring day itself, technically speaking. It's still a little chilly, but we're experiencing spring, and part of that is expressed in the halachic process, and we've learned about this in a number of years, but I'd like to focus on a new angle of this as we watch the spring develop. And it's obviously very apropos that this week is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which reflects this reality. Let's take a look and try to understand this from the following perspective. If you're watching this on Zoom and you have a and you have the that's not on a phone but actually on a computer, you can see in the bottom there should be an option to see in the chat box. There is, I put the source sheets for this, so it will be there as well. You can find the sources for this. If not, I'm going to go text light for those who are listening, and I will try to share screens as things go on. In the meantime, what I want to do is I'd like to share some of the thoughts, very, very beautiful thoughts. Recently, Rav Rimon sent me a sefer that he published called, this was just a couple years ago, called Yemei Nisan V'Iyar, the days of Iyar and Nisan. And I thought it was very appropriate to focus on one of the ideas that he develops in there, a very beautiful idea, based on the spring and the halachic imperatives of the spring, which give us also an insight into some of the beautiful ideas around us. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at some of the sources surrounding the blessings on the blossoms, which we're seeing coming into full. And if for those who do have the source sheets, you can see it in the chat box there. I actually did put just a picture of the blossoms, which I took this morning on the way to shul. I took pictures of the blossoms. I put them onto the source sheets this morning. We have some beautiful cherry blossoms coming in, some wild cherries in our front yard. And it's really very beautiful. Every day there's something else happening. We've just watched the crocuses come into bloom. And now we have the daffodils out and the tulips are just on the verge of coming out. There's a lot of beauty in the world around us, in the natural world around us. So the Gemara tells us that we are supposed to notice this experience. We're not supposed to just let it go by. One of the things we're supposed to do is there's a very short and enigmatic line in the Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Brachos on Mem Gimel Amud Beis, and I'm just going to quote it for those who do not have the sources. Those who do have the sources, it's in the chat box. But the Gemara says the following: Amar Rav Yehuda, Ha'aman Nofek B'Yomei Nisan, a person who goes out during the month of Nisan, V'Chazei Ilane Dekom Elavlevei. And he sees that the trees are in fact that the trees are starting to so to speak bubble, or what it means to say is blossoming. Omer Baruch Shelo Chiser Ba'olam Oklum. We say a bracha, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, you didn't leave anything that was missing in the world. Uvarovoy Vrios Tovos Ilanas Tovos Dehis Naos Bohem Bnei Adam, and you created these beautiful creations in these trees that human beings can get enjoyment from. That's what the Gemara says. It's a very short Gemara. It's a very enigmatic Gemara. I'm actually going to, for those who are on the Zoom right now, I am going to share just the actual sources over here. If this is helpful, it might be. Let me see. This is the incorrect one. Let me just see if I can get the correct one right now. Here we go. I'm going to find a different screen to share with everybody. Here we go. I apologize for the little bit of a delay. It just might be helpful to have the sources right here in front of you. Let's see if I can find them. Give me a moment. I'm sorry for the delay. Here we go. Let's see if this is the correct one. No, this is the incorrect one. This is my version, which has different numerations. I apologize for the delay. One second. Here we go. Okay. I'm just seeing if I can find it. I apologize. Here we go. Let's try this one. No. Here we go. Let's see. I'm sorry. We're going to get that in a second. Nope, still not the right one. Let's try again one more time. And then we're going to start. Okay, here we go. Nope, still not. Okay, you know, I can't seem to find the correct one. Let me just try one last thing. Here we go. Here we go. Okay, we're going to use this one. Here we go. I apologize, folks. We are almost there. Here we are. Okay. Here we go. Okay. Here's what we're going to do. So we are looking at the sources now. So here we go. These are the blossoms in my front yard right now. And we're now going to look at the first source. Okay. So here's what Gemara says. The Gemara says that we say a bracha when we see these trees which are coming into bloom. Fantastic. Now, the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins this lahalacha. So I put the Shulchan Aruch over here just for our own edification. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Hayoytze b'mei Nisan v'ra'i ilanos shemoytzin perach." If you're going out in the days of Nisan, you see that the trees are bringing out flowers. You said, "Bracha shelo chiser b'olam oklum." You gave no lacking in your world. Ubaraboy brios tovos ilanos tovos leanos bohem bnei adam. Ve'ena mavarech ela pam achas b'chol shana v'shana. You can only say this bracha once annually. Ve'im icher levarech ad achar shegadlu aperos lo yavarech oed. If the fruit already come out, is no longer the blossom. The blossoms may even still be there, but if the fruit's already out, one should not say this blessing. So Shulchan Aruch adds in a few details over here, but generally speaking, it's pretty much what the Gemara is saying. It's worthwhile just stopping and taking notice right now that it is interesting to talk about the idea of Shaloi Chiser Ba'olam HaKlum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you created a complete world. You created a self-sufficient world. There's something to we should be thinking and taking pause about right now to appreciate that statement. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the world is a perfect place. There's a lot of imperfection we're hearing. But remember that sometimes it's focused. There's a lot of tragedy and there's a lot of difficulty and suffering which is around us. There's no question about that. And we are hearing that, but because we're, so to speak, in the echo chambers of our own news cycles, we only hear that. And it's important to break out and say that there is much more. There's a bigger system that hopefully we're going to get back to that bigger system, just to appreciate that as we say that bracha. What we're going to do is the following. We're going to now contrast this bracha to two other brachas that we know about, in order to be able to understand this bracha. Because when you try to isolate an element, you need to understand, how does this element tick? What is this element doing? In order to understand that, we need to say, well, how is it different from things which are similar to it? So we're going to look at two other brachas which are somewhat similar. The first bracha is the bracha of which we relate to beautiful things in the world. The Gemara later on in brachas, on Daf Menun Ches Amubez, in a much later perek, says the following interesting insight. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara says, you see, unusual creatures, there's a special bracha about unusual creatures. He says, however, Ra'a Brios Tavois V'ilanos Tavois. Let's say you see beautiful creations. You see beautiful trees. Oimer Baruch Hatashem Lekene Melech Olam, Shekacha Loi Ba'olamoi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu who has such things in the world. In other words, there is a bracha for appreciating beautiful things in the world. Now, what's interesting about this is to understand, this sounds very similar to the bracha that we just talked about. The bracha that we are focusing on right now is the fact you walk outside, you see blossoms, you see all this beauty, you say a bracha, wow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your world is perfect, you gave all these beautiful things that we can enjoy, it's so special. But there's another bracha. The other bracha seems to be, I will turn the page. The other bracha, which seems to be, is the bracha that when you see beautiful things in the world, we say, we reflect on that, on those beautiful things, and we say, Shekach alai ba'alamai. Are these two brachas the same thing? Do we say them on the same amount of things? Is there overlap? Is there not overlap? How does this work exactly? So the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins this in Simon Reish Chofei. The Shulchan Aruch tells us, Harai Elonos Tovois, if you're on the front screen here, Ubrios Noois, and beautiful creations, Afilu Akum or Behemo, Oime Barachat Hashem Lekan Melech Olam, Shekach Ola Ba'olamo, Ve'enem Avarech Aleihem, Elopam Rishona, V'lo Yoser, you should only say it the first time you see these things, that are beautiful, V'lo Aleihem, V'lo Alacherim, Elo Imkeno, you know Imehem. You should say only on the most beautiful of these creations that you see. So it is interesting that there are a few halachic differences between this bracha of Shekach Olai Ba'olamo, when you see something extraordinarily beautiful, and when you say the bracha on the peiros, which are malavla voice, on the fruit trees, the trees which are blossoming. Number one, I'll just put a table down to make it easier to reference this. Number one is that Birkas HaIlanos, the blessings on the trees, is said on any tree. Really, technically speaking, there's a whole debate whether it has to be a fruit-bearing tree. But the pashtus, the simplicity of the Gemara is that it's on any tree. Whereas the bracha of Shekach Olai Ba'olamo, that you made this beautiful thing in the world, is only on trees which speak to you. Beautiful trees. When I was growing up in South Africa, we had trees which are called jacaranda trees. They would blossom purple. You'd have these purple canopies throughout the streets where the trees on all sides would be, it's beautiful, magnificent, beautiful trees. Not every tree is like that. There's some trees which are smelly. There's some trees which are not exactly as picturesque. You would not say Shekach Olai Ba'olamo on those trees. Whereas when it comes to the bracha or the blossoms, it would be any tree which is blossoming. Another difference in halacha is that when it comes to the bracha on blossoming trees, because it is on the blossoming trees, you only say the bracha when the trees are blossoming. If the tree is not blossoming, you don't say the bracha. Whereas, if I were to say, see a beautiful tree in the middle of the summer, in the middle of the winter even, and that tree is beautiful, I would still say the bracha, Shekach Olai Ba'olamo, this is a beautiful tree. And the third difference is that this bracha, when it comes to the brachas of the blossoms, can only be said once a year. It's said during the month of Nisan, as the Gemara seems to indicate, whereas the bracha on beautiful things can be said numerous times a year. Now, it can't be said within 30 days of one another, but there's the possibility of being able to see beautiful things and see them again and again, different beautiful elements within the world, whether it be trees, people, creations, which are magnificent, and a person can say that bracha numerous times. So you see a few interesting halachic differences between these two ideas. And the question is, so why? So what is the difference between these brachas? What is the underlying principle between them? So perhaps one of the ideas which is extant in this is to be found in the teachings of the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah was one of the medieval commentators, one of the Rishonim on the Gemara. And what I did was I put it into source 3. He says just a very simple suggestion over here when it comes to the bracha on blossoms. He says the following, this is his definition. The Kavu bracha zu, they established this blessing, Levi shehu inyan ba mizman lezman. We say this bracha on the blossoms because it's something which comes from time to time. Vu inyan mechudash, and this is a new idea, she'adam ro'eh etzim yuveshim she'efriach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see something new. You see that you have a dead tree, and then literally every day you walk outside and something's different. Now you see a little bit of a bud. The next day you see the bud is turning dark pink. The next day you see the bud is spitting a little bit. The next day you see suddenly there's peeking out as the beginning of a blossom. The blossom opens up into its fullness, into its light pink and whiteness. Magnificent. Will you see that? That's what you're reflecting on. This is not so much about beauty, enjoyment, as it is about reflection on a process of renewal. That's the way the Ra'ah suggested, which makes a lot of sense. Which is why it's only said once a year. Which is why it's only when it's referring to a blossom tree. And why it doesn't have to be a beautiful tree necessarily. Although blossoms are usually beautiful. It doesn't have to be. That's something which is giving you the pleasure of the sight as you're looking at it. Whereas the other bracha is about beautiful things. That's about enjoying the world. This is not about enjoying the world necessarily. This is about the magnificence of renewal itself. This, by the way, helps us understand something, because there are three general categories of brachos midrabbanon, on rabbinic brachos, which are most of the brachos that we do, and they divide into really three silos. One silo is what's called birkas hanehenin, where I'm enjoying something, I'm about to eat something, I'm about to smell something, I've just eaten something. Those are what's called birkas hanehenin, I'm enjoying it. The second silo is called birkas hamitzvahs, where I'm saying a bracha on an act which is a sanctified act, an act where I'm commanded to do something, where I'm going to do netilas yodayim, asher kili shalom b'mitzvot zivonu al netilas yodayim in the morning, or whether it be lighting the candles on a Friday night, whatever the mitzvah is, listening to a shofar, shaking a lulav, all these brachos have a special nusach, asher kili shalom b'mitzvot. That bracha is a separate side. And the third is Birkas HaShevach, which is the bracha of we're literally praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shevach v'hoidah, praising and thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the silo we're in. But even within that silo, we're seeing different brachas. One is reflecting on beauty in the world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at the magnificent creation you've made. And I can say that numerous times a year, depending on the beautiful things I've seen. But there's another bracha, not so much about the enjoyment of the wonder, but it is really more about the idea of the creation renewing itself. And that's what we're talking about here. But if that's the case, then there should be another bracha which we should be noticing as well. Because there is another bracha which does relate to and reflects renewal or new times. And that's the bracha which we say many times a year. And that bracha is called Shehechiyanu. We know about the bracha of Shehechiyanu. And that's a very meaningful bracha. Every time we stop to say Shehechiyanu, whether it be on Yom Tov, whether it be because we buy something new, because we eat new fruit, that it should be a moment to pause and say, Shehechiyanu v'kiyamanu v'yigyanu nazman hazeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for allowing me to be at this station in history, for allowing me to get to this station in my life, this milestone. It really is a remarkable bracha. How does this differ? If we've moved away, this bracha of the blossoms has moved away from being simply a bracha, which is about enjoyment of nature and is more about the process of renewal, then surely isn't that exactly what Shehechiyanu is? So let's take a quick look at some of the sources which reflect Shehechiyanu for a moment. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Simon Reish Chafei, I'm just turning to source 6 here, where the Shulchan Aruch says, Harai Pri Chadash, a person sees a new fruit, Mischadesh Mishana L'shana, which is renewing from year to year, Mevorach Shehechiyanu, you say the bracha of Shehechiyanu, Avil Ra'uhu B'yad Chaveroi Oy Al Ha'ilan, you can really say it on the tree, but our binag is, says the Shulchan Aruch, that we don't say the bracha until we actually eat it. Now today it's become more difficult to do this bracha because of international trade has allowed us to have fruits all year round. So whether it be summer or winter, we can get nectarines or oranges, which used to be season dependent because of trade today. And so we're less accustomed to noticing the fact that when the plums and the nectarines come out, it's the beginning of summer. When the oranges come out, it's the beginning of the winter. We're unaccustomed to the seasonal element of fruits as much in the world that we live in today. But there's something very special about the new season and the new fruits which are natural to that climate, and saying a bracha to reflect that. So doesn't that sound very much similar to the bracha of the blossoms? Isn't that the same kind of thing, just the permutation being now with the fruit? How is that different? So it happens to be that there is Shehechiyanu, the bracha which we say on these new occasions, is different in a number of ways. Here is perhaps the way it is defined by the Bach, Rav Yoel Sirkis, in his commentary on the Torah in Source 7. He says the following very fascinating definition, which is very helpful to understanding this idea, this concept. He says the following, Avol lefi ani yostaiti, according to the way I understand it, he says, De'ik lechalek ben birkas shechianu l'shar brachos. Shechianu is a unique bracha. How? Because the birkas shechianu sheba al simchas liboy shel adam. It reflects the enjoyment that a person is experiencing. You may say Birkas Shehecheyanu, even though you may not necessarily be 100% sure you're obligated in this particular circumstance. You don't transgress the problem of mentioning Hashem's name in vain. Im hu sameach umavarech lo yisale al Shehecheyanu v'kiyomoy ad hazman hazeh. So he says, look, when it comes to a regular bracha, and I don't know if I should say a bracha, I don't know, it's a situation of suffix. Did I say the bracha already? Did I not say the bracha already? Is this a situation which warrants a bracha? The general rule in brachas is because most brachas are midrabanan, except for Birkas Hamazon and Birkas HaTorah, because most situations are rabbinic, when I have a rabbinic doubt, I go lekula. I don't say the bracha. So if I don't know if this situation warrants a bracha, I would not say a bracha in such a circumstance. However, says Rav Yoel Sirkis, that when it comes to Shehecheyanu, I would. If I don't know if it warrants it, but I'm feeling happy, I'm enjoying the situation, this is a beautiful thing, I can say Shehecheyanu. Why? Because the bracha is on the simchas liboy, on the enjoyment that I'm experiencing, the happiness. I've got this new suit, this new dress, this new moment, this new fruit. I'm enjoying this moment. Because I'm enjoying the moment, I am able to say the bracha of Shehecheyanu. That's what the Bach says. He says, and in the case he's talking about over there, is about a specific bracha. And he says, in that case, if I'm in a doubt, I would not say the bracha. Where it comes to Shehecheyanu, I will say it even in a situation of doubt because I'm enjoying that situation. There's a simchas liboy. There is a happiness of the heart which is reflected in the rabbinic enactment of saying this bracha. Now that helps us understand things because when it comes to the bracha of the ilanos, of the fruit trees, that itself is not necessarily so much about enjoyment or the simchas liboy. Do you see the difference over here that's emerging? On the one hand, the blessing of the blossoms is not like the blessing of Shekocha Lebalama, or beautiful things, because that's about enjoying nature. It's not as much similar to Shehecheyanu. Shehecheyanu is about the happiness that it's triggering within me, not necessarily just the beauty of something, but it's not necessarily about the Simchas Libo, the happiness that I'm experiencing. What was it coming back to the definition that Ra'ah gave us? Is seeing the Hischadshus, seeing the renewal in creation. One example in Halacha where this expresses itself. So the question that arises is what about if I ate a new fruit and I forgot to say Shehecheyanu? May I say Shehecheyanu still when I have another new fruit in front of me, but I did not say on the first one? That's a question that's raised in Halacha. So here's the Ma'aril was asked this question. One of the very early commentators was asked this question, and he says the following in Source 8. I put in the actual text of his response. He says, "Umashe kosavta, demashu lashon smak dim loy birech pam rishon lo ala priyachodah she'ein lo levarich oed." The smak, the Sefer Mitzvos Ketanos, says that you cannot say a bracha if you missed Shehecheyanu the first time. He says, I don't think that's true. I don't know where he got that from. Ella de adaraba, let's move this up over here. Ella de adaraba, rather, it would seem, nearly le damoisa leman de nofik biyominisan vachazi ilana del melavlevi. He says, it seems to me that it's similar to going outside where you see the blossoms that are expressed, are blossoming out in the trees. De lo birech bezimna kama mavorech basar hachi kozman shele godlo haperos. You can still say the bracha as long as the fruit haven't appeared on the tree yet. Right, v'tayim mishum da oisah simchas adayin kayemes huadin, and he says is loishna. So he says that it would be similar because when it comes to the blossoms and the trees, I go outside and I see the blossoms and I forget to say the bracha. I'm not in the right place. I don't have the text with me. I can obviously say that bracha again when I see the blossoms the next time. Surely the same should be when it comes to Shehecheyanu. When it comes to Shehecheyanu, I eat the fruit. Oh yeah, I forgot. It's the first nectarine of the season. I should really wait until the next have I lost my opportunity? He says, no. You can say it on the next nectarine you ate. Because why? Because the happiness is still there. You'll notice that this is a matter of debate. He quotes the Smak, who says it's not the case. This debate continues la halacha. The Rama says you can say Shechian on the second fruit, whereas the Smak and the Magen Avraham say you shouldn't say the bracha on the second fruit if you miss the first fruit. Why is there a dispute? The dispute is how similar is Shechianu to the bracha on the blossoms? Is Shechianu, when it comes to the blossoms, is it about the Simchas Libo, enjoying that moment? Is it about the fact that I'm having a cerebral experience, an emotional experience when I'm watching those blossoms? Or is it no, it's not about anything to do with my emotions. It has to do with the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in this world, the Almighty created a renewal process, and I'm witnessing that renewal process. That, therefore, might not be similar. The renewal process is still in motion, even if I miss saying the bracha on the first moment of it. Whereas when it comes to a fruit, if I miss the moment of enjoying that fruit, the happiness thereafter is diminished, and I would not be able to say the bracha. That's the sources of this debate itself. Fascinating in halacha. Let's come back to the point that we arrived at in terms of the intricacy of this. We've looked at three brachas. We looked at the bracha on beautiful things in the world, the bracha of blossoms on trees, and the bracha of Shechianu, where I arrive at a way station in life which is unique and special. And we saw that, in fact, the bracha of the blossoms is dissimilar to either of those. The bracha, when it comes to beautiful things, is purely about the enjoyment or the beauty of that item, and it can be at any time in the year, could be any item, doesn't have to be in blossom. And it can be numerous times a year. When it comes to the bracha of Shechianu, it's about the simchas libo, about the enjoyment, the actual emotional enjoyment of that moment that I'm experiencing, which occurs when I'm about to experience that item or this moment. Whereas the idea of Birkas HaElanos seems to be separate. The Birkas HaElanos is recognizing that there is a hischadshus, there is a renewal process in the world around us. And it perhaps is that idea of renewal which is so critical to this bracha, which is why it has to be, ironically speaking, it has to be in the spring. Now, this is different. There is a debate about what about the southern hemisphere. I grew up in the southern hemisphere. The blossoms simply don't come out in Nisan. Not the way it works down there. So there certainly is. One can certainly say it in other seasons, and there's a debate. If you missed Nisan and the blossoms are coming out late this year, I didn't have the opportunity. There's certainly grounds to be able to say it at a later month, if the fruit have not yet come out, nonetheless. At the same time, the Gemara does seem to emphasize that in the classic case, and certainly based on an Eretz Israel-oriented, an Israel-oriented reality, that a person should be saying the bracha of Birkas HaElanos on the blossoms, specifically during Nisan. Why is that? Let's come back to that definition. The definition is that Kodesh Baruch Hu instills in the world some form of Yischadshus, some form of renewal that is occurring. That renewal is expressing itself physically. But that renewal, of course, is not simply just a physical manifestation. It is also a spiritual manifestation of what's going on in the world around us, which is why it's specifically Nisan. If you take a look at this, the next source, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us in Yud Aleph Amud Aleph that there's a debate as to which when the world is created. There's between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Benisan Nivra Ha'olam. He says that in Nisan the world is created. Benisan Noel Duha Avos. In Nisan, many of the forefathers, patriarchs and matriarchs, are born. Mesu Avos. Sorry. Benisan Noel Duha Avos. Benisan Mesu Avos. A number of the patriarchs passed away in Nisan. Gemara records a number of events that occurred during these different months. Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah was the time when the servitude lessened in Egypt. But Nisan Nigalu, but in Nisan we were actually redeemed. Exodus occurred in the month of Nisan. And the Gemara adds on an extra line that it's not just that we were redeemed in Nisan, but that in fact in Nisan we will be redeemed again. Now think about those two ideas. Let's put those two ideas, which perhaps we take for granted. But the idea of renewal, which is expressed in the world around us, outside we're looking at the world around us, and let's look at the idea redemption. Those ideas are not too far away from each other. Renewal and redemption. If you think about it in a certain sense, isn't renewal an expression of redemption? So meaning to say, when I look at that tree, and that tree's been dead, it's been dry branches the entire winter, and you kind of wonder, is it ever going to feature again? And now suddenly, within the span of literally days, Thursday there was nothing on the tree. And now this morning there are hundreds of blossoms on the tree. This is what I've witnessed. I've been watching every single day. In that is a remarkable experience to witness the idea of renewal. Or in a certain sense, it's redemption of something which you thought was beyond redemption. It's redeeming something which looks dormant, looks dead, looks incapable of producing life, and suddenly, boom, within a moment, it is now living a new life. That's a remarkable experience of redemption. Perhaps the physical expression of this is a reflection of a deeper spiritual realization or reality in the world around us. That perhaps is why it should be specifically in the month of Nisan. Nisan is the month we were redeemed and will be redeemed, which means to say there's a certain reality that is available to us right now of redemption. There's a certain element of redemption which is available to us were we to be able to tap in, and the world around us is expressing that idea itself. We take this one step further. It's just a very, very powerful idea, and especially at a time where we so desperately need redemption, at a time where just even right now, every day, there's so much pain, there's so much tragedy right now, we really need to be able to tap into the redemptive potential that is in the month of Nisan, which we're about to enter. The Gemara tells us, in fact, in Sanhedrin, now the expression is the physical idea of the world around us being an expression of this of the spiritual is expressed in another way. Very, very beautiful idea. The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, the following source, in source 11, Sanhedrin, Tzadiches Amr Aleph. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abba, Ein Lecha Ketz Megula Mizeh. There is no greater sign that the redemption is on the way than this. Shenemar, quoting the pasuk in Yechezkel, Va'atem, Harei Yisrael, Anfeichem, Titnu, Uprichem, Tisu, La'ami Yisrael. When are you going to see the greatest form of redemption? Is when the fruit trees are going to bear fruit for the nation of Israel. And this historically is absolutely absurd this could even exist. If you go back 100, 150 years into the land of what was then called British or the Ottoman Palestine at the time, the land was arid. In fact, when Mark Twain describes how he would walk in innocence abroad when he made his travels across the Middle East, when he was talking about trying to find Jerusalem, he said the only difference between the pathways, the roads, and not the pathways, were that there were more rocks on the pathways to Jerusalem than there were on the side of the road. That was what it was. Not a living person, not a living thing as he walked through the land. The Jerusalem was a place of impoverished people. There was no economy, completely falling apart. This is what he was witnessing. That was literally 150 years ago. And look what's happened. Look what's happened in this incredible resurgence of the land of Israel. I know that when Ilan Ramon of blessed memory went up to space, one of the things that he noticed was when he was taking these satellite pictures of the Middle East, which is of course of particular interest to him, his homeland, he noticed that there was another green line, not just the green line, which you know the silly armistice lines, which the world seems to hold us accountable to, even though many other countries have done many other things and many other his geopolitical things have changed. Nonetheless, the green line is actually not just the green line or the political, the geopolitical reflection, but there's a green line of where the nation of Israel is settling now. There's green in the land of Israel. What a remarkable thing. This is the prophecy of Yechezkel. This is a prophecy we're seeing expressed right now in reality. That's just, we should just take a moment. We sometimes think of the Nevi'im, the prophets, the Nevi'im, Achronim, that's, you know, cerebral ideas that we need a lot of, you know, academic research to understand. You don't have to be an academic to understand what's happening in the land of Israel. That's what Gemara is telling us in Sanhedrin. We're witnessing that literally now. But what do you see over here? Is the idea of redemption is reflected in the physical manifestation of the world, of the trees giving forth their fruit, of the trees coming back to life. That's exactly what's happening on a microcosm level on an average year. I'm walking outside, I'm seeing the reflection of this idea of the trees expressing their own redemption in their renewal. I'm saying a bracha on that, recognizing the fact that there is a renewal process which is going on in tandem in the world at large. The world is moving towards redemption. There is a redemption which is available. That's why Benisan Asidim Nigael. And that's why I'd like to close perhaps with the thoughts of Rav Kook. Rav Kook has he says this in a number of places, but this is one of the places that he says it in a book called Olas Re'iya. For those of you who are not familiar with it, Olas Re'iya is in fact his commentary on the Siddur. It's a two-volume commentary, a very, very beautiful commentary. Again, the Hebrew is not as easy to understand than in some of his other works, but he says a very, very beautiful comment, and I'd like to read this with together just to appreciate the depth of this. He talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim, leaving Egypt, in a more expanded perception. Here's what he says. He's talking about the mitzvah of placing on tefillin for those who the men who've done it already today, or the men who will be doing it today. Something to think about the next time that a person puts on tefillin. He says we're told tzivanu laniach al hayad lizekaron zraya netzuya. When we put the tefillin on the arm, one of the remembrances that we're supposed to have is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a zraya netzuya, an outstretched arm, literally. So that outstretched arm, we're putting the tefillin there as a remembrance of Zeicher Yetzias Mitzrayim, of leaving Egypt. What does that mean? So he says, Yetzias Mitzrayim, leaving Egypt, Ha'asam Ura Kazeh, was such a experience, was such a moment in history, Shirak Lefi Maris Ha'ayin Agasa Nechshev Esi L'Davar Shehoya Eze Pam V'Avar. Only to the, we'll call it the gross eye, the eye which lacks any subtlety or perception or depth of perception, that kind of person would really see that, in fact, it was a once-off experience. And we'll look for the archaeological remains, and we'll try to cross-date it, and we'll try to find out which pharaoh, and we'll try to explain it as a historical event. He says that's the unsubtle eye, the gross eye, who doesn't see things properly. And they'll say, ah, what a magnificent moment in strength in the nation of Israel, Exodus, redemption of the slaves, emancipation, and, you know, historically, culturally fantastic. And it was, you know, really a watershed moment in history, slaves becoming free, independence, all these wonderful things. Aval, bemes, in real truth, if you're really able to zone in, if you're able to understand the inner understanding and expression of this moment, on Uboim Lide Yediyah, we'll come to the realization, ki etzem pu'ulas yetzias Mitzrayim, hi pu'ula she'eino nifsekes klal. The process of leaving Egypt never stopped. That process never abated. His galus yad Hashem bepirsum uvahafa'a behira al panei ha'historia shel hatevel. This idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressing himself, revealing himself through history to inhabitants upon earth is a continuing process. He, his partsus or nishmas Elohim ha'chaya va'po'eres b'chol merchavei ha'olam. The idea of Hashem's expression, His spirit, so to speak, the divine manifestation revealing itself to the world, being redeemed, so to speak, in the world, is an ongoing experience. The way he says it, actually, just to take a quick break here, the way the Rav Kook says this in his book, Oros, on where he talks about Tchiyas Yisrael v'Tchiyas in Perek Yud Beis, he talks about every time that we see a miracle, any time that we see a moment of Ashkacha Pratis, what we're essentially seeing is we're witnessing a meridian, a deeper meridian of the divine which exists in the world. Meaning Hashem's always here. The sap is always within the tree, so to speak. The lifeblood is here. The spiritual lifeblood of the world is here. And in a moment we have a flash. We see that. That's a Yetzias Mitzrayim moment. That's a moment where I see the redemption, I see a renewal process which has reflected itself in this world. Asher Yisrael zachar lazeh, Israel at a certain period in time had the merit to see that. Shal yedei God loy ve'achsharas kedushasai, because of the moment HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared this moment of holiness, ta'ir es ora nazriach orim gedolim b'chol na'ois machshachim l'dorei dorim. For a moment Hashem, there was this flash. There was this unbelievable flash where everybody saw throughout all of history until today, everyone talks about Exodus. That was what it was then. But it continues. And the seeds of the divine are still there in the world. There is a possibility of seeing again moments of redemption, moments of renewal, moments of being able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world as we uncover, as we see those blossoms coming up through the dead trees in our lives, we're able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'anachnu menichim es ha'tfilah shel yad lizikaron lizroya netzuya. And that's why it is we place the tefillin on the arm to remember the zroya netzuya, the outstretched arm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ha'tadiris, which is constant. Hashem's hand was not simply outstretched over Egypt, it was outstretched and continues to be outstretched, although invisibly to us most of the time. Ha'oleches u'bone olamim u'meshachleles oso b'chol eis, which continues to build, continues to invigorate, continues to heal the world around us. U'ma'ale es kol ha'shebohem, and thereby to elevate the life source of everything else. Es kol gavnei nishmosehem, all the different expressions of the souls that it gives life to. Ves kol otzros chayehem, and all the containers of their life that contain this divine, that contain the spirit. El hamaromim ha'alyonim shela osher aleki hamisnoseis biskalus toifa'a izuz gudekodshoi, that are able to express the power of His holiness. That is a remarkable insight, which means what Rav Kook is telling us, just such a powerful idea, is that as we go out and we say that bracha, which is going to be able to, we're going to be able to start saying this on this Thursday, on Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Let's go, let's make sure, with the lack of abilities to be able to go to shuls, let's try to find as many mitzvahs that we can possibly do as early as possible. As we go out this Thursday and we say that bracha on the Ilanos, and we see those blossoms which are flowering, we're remembering and reflecting that it's specifically during Nissan. Why? Because during Nissan was the month where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is most able to be actualized, where the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's in this world, in every element of this world, can be revealed more easily. When you look at those blossoms, when you see that beauty which is revealing itself, and you realize that there is renewal, there's redemption, even in what looks like it is dead, we ourselves can realize that the capacity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing Himself in this world ultimately will be redemptive in all fashions. As we said at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, turn the light of Your face to us, because in the light of your face, when You shine Your presence upon us, in that place, in that space, there's no longer illness. In that space, in that place, there's no longer suffering. There's no longer trauma. There's no more longer isolation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's try to say that bracha with extra special care this world, this year, as we reflect upon the redemption which is available to us on a micro level and on a macro level. With this, God willing, we should be zoichem to geula shlema b'mehera v'yomenu. Thank you, everybody, very much for taking the time. I'm going to open it up to questions right now.